Hey, producers, two-part episode with Justin Lawrence. Love talking about and reflecting about the year. I didn't used to do that much, and I think it was a missed opportunity, really, because we get so busy just trying to get things done to get the week over with and get to the next one that we don't get time to think about what worked and what didn't work. And we did that. Steven shared a lot. Justin shared a lot. It was a longer episode than we normally do. So we're breaking it into two parts. But first up, a couple amazing partners that help us put this show on every single week. And we thank them. Take a listen. Easy Way. Easy Way is giving out $250. You guys know the plan. Heading to easyway.com/giveaway enters you in $250 worth of product credit. That's every single month. Easy Way makes reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with their chemicals and equipment. Thanks, Easy Way. GraphX Source. If you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, Campus Inc., and many, many others use GraphX Source, who offer industry-leading outsourcing options for your shop and truly are a part of your team. They are the VAs that are handling SEPs, mock-up, creative art, order management, digitizing, customer service, and a bunch more. They've been around for over 40 years, too. So hit them up. Give it a try. PrintavoPod24 for 50% off your first order. Multicraft Daddy. Head to multicraft_daddy. Send him a DM with your email address. He's giving out PMI tape if you haven't tried it. He's also giving out a ton of other really cool, neat gifts all the time. So shoot him a DM. Multicraft Digital Supplies and Screen Printing, they have been around for over 50 years, providing the industry with top brands at competitive pricing. Plus, on your first order, if you're a new customer, 10% off. You mentioned the Printavo Pod, and it'll get you that 10% off. And make sure you give him a follow. He's doing an awesome job. He's creating so much really cool content of screen printing history, too. That's love to really see that. And last but not least, Stahls. If you're ready to take custom apparel to the next level, Stahls is the leader in heat printing solutions. Whether you're just a small business getting started out or an established brand that's scaling, Stahls makes the hustle easy. Try their DTFs out, 20% off your next order. Use the code HUSTLER20. HUSTLER20, that gets 20% off that next transfer order. Get the equipment, transfers, and just overall support that your business needs by staying ahead. Visit stahls.com and give it a try. They got tons of awesome products here. All right, let's jump on into the episode. All right, guys, we are live. A little year-end hang. Happy holidays, Justin. Happy holidays, Steven.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We're recording this a couple days before Christmas. Justin, how's your pre-Christmas Eve at the shop dispensary? How are things?
It's awesome. I forget often that December is the crazy days, like leading up to Christmas, because it's either the businesses that want their stuff, their customer gifts, or this is one of my favorite times of the year because I turn into Santa's little elf and I get to pull out things like my laser machine and embroidery stuff and make very sentimental, good arts and crafts for my friends and for like family members for my Christmas gifts. So it's, I love it.
What are we getting?
You have to wait. It's not Christmas yet.
Okay. Oh, what is that? A Mountain Dew?
Do the Dew, boys. It's Christmas break. Played Halo last night with my son, drinking Mountain Dew on a Monday morning or afternoon. It's Christmas break.
Dude, that's awesome. Steven, you're messing around with machines too.
Always messing around
and
with
trailers.
Machines.
Big trailers.
And trailers. It's not public yet. It's not public
horse
yet.
Trailers for the horse farm trailers that you have in Urbana.
I did buy a trailer, but I bought it from Amish country. And so I learned a lot about the Amish this last week, the things they can do and can't do.
What was the most surprising thing you learned?
Yeah, that was a great
reading. Electricity. They can use electricity outside their homes. If there's any Amish listening to this, they can use electricity outside of their homes for work purposes. But then if it's like in their home, they can't. And they have a central phone that's like in the town that they can go use, as long as it's like not attached to their house. They build great trailers.
So that one that you shared on Instagram is built by Amish?
It's all Amish black built.
One? That was public, right? It was in a private thing?
Sort of.
I can't remember.
It's not public yet.
Holy cow.
Maybe by the time this airs, it will be. Probably not. There's some cool Amish communities in Oklahoma. I've been through a few times. Like I remember as a child growing up, we would go through this small town in between Tulsa and Eufaula. And there's this whole strip, and we would get apple butter, awesome pies, great handmade goods. They have the best honey.
Yeah. They make cabinets.
Incredible.
Dogs.
Breed dogs,
cabinets, trailers,
they have screen
taffy,
shops,
candy. No?
What's up, Bruce?
Is there a shop in there? Like, did you see anyone using a heat press?
No electricity.
Anyways.
Justin, what's your, like, do you do any year-end ritual things?
Yes. Every year for my entire life at the end of the year, I've celebrated my birthday on December 27th. This year, I'll be 41. That and Christmas, that's about my only traditions at the year end that I typically go through every year. What about you?
I started following the Jesse Itzler like year end things. He has this product called Big Ass Calendar, which I'm a huge fan of. And basically it's just a big calendar, but you could see all the days on the calendar at once on your wall. But his whole thing is physically clean off your desk, physically get your car like cleaned internally and externally, and then give away all clothes that you find someone else could find more useful than you can. And then lastly, he like kind of plans the calendar for next year for, you know, he doesn't want to get dragged along the year. So he'll try to really plan out the year based on a couple different categories. And I followed that pretty religiously, and it's kind of fun to do it with my wife too.
I did pick up one habit. So 3 or 4, maybe longer ago, I heard of a guy that did something during Black Friday. All of the businesses typically send out, you know, all their marketing emails. So use that opportunity. So I went all in this year for Unsubscribe November. And really, as soon as like November happened, all of my emails, if it was not something I was really interested in, I committed to November 1, really through the end of the year, to unsubscribing. And it's been unbelievable how much I try to stay on top of my inbox as is, but like really, really going all in and doing it, it cleans out a lot of noise. So I will say that. Unsubscribe November, unsubscribe December.
I forgot. That's the last thing he does too. He wipes everything in his inbox.
You know, Gmail now has like a manage subscriptions button you can hit. Have you guys seen this? Yeah. If you go into your Gmail, scroll down to the bottom, like on the left-hand side, you can go into manage subscriptions. And yeah, you can just go through and hit unsubscribe.
Wow.
You must have that. I don't have that.
I don't use Gmail.
I do have that.
Team at Oklahoma Shirt Company, unsubscribe.
Hey, easy.
You know what's cool? Justin, you subscribe to a bunch of like our Shopify stuff, and then you'll reply back. And then that's how I get inspo from you guys, is I subscribe to a lot of shops.
We're watching all of you. I subscribe to all. I have folders in my email. Real Thread is one if you don't. And Fresh Prints and another one. Basically, like any drip campaign that I end up on, I'm capturing every single one of them, putting them in the folder just for that marketing bank.
Are there parts of the email that you like, that you felt, or that you used?
What I like is when I can capture, you just don't really see campaigns for t-shirt companies from beginning to end. So if I see one that feels or looks like drip, I'll immediately try to like throw out that Pokeball and capture it, and then wait for the next one. And if I capture it, I just try to catch them all. And then you end up looking, you're like, I've got a sequence of 8 emails from this company that maybe I could be inspired by, or maybe I could, you know, glean information from.
What other stuff do you do at the end of the year, Justin? Like anything with your team, yearly planning?
Yeah, we're in the Traction EOS model. So we do all of our quarterly planning. In January, our 2-day annual planning thing is coming. So that will happen. We do a Christmas. I used to do Christmas parties at Oklahoma Shirt Company. We don't do Christmas parties anymore. We do Christmas cheer days. So like, remember your best day in elementary school, if you were in a traditional school, I guess. It's kind of like that last day where you show up for work and there's snacks and there's treats and there's candy and there's games and we cater lunch and breakfast and happy hour. And it's just kind of like an all day celebration. And that way, Christmas parties are super fun if your culture's for it, but our culture is kind of, we have two different cultures. We have kind of a production culture, a front of house culture, and a back of house culture, and they do not commingle super well. And some people are, much of our like different seasons of lives of people, some have kids, some do not, some are single, some are married. And so to try to have the traditional thing that we did when we were smaller has become more and more challenging. So we've opted to just do the cheer day, and it works because we have 100% participation. we actually save money because we're not, you know, spending money on spouses and plus ones and all that stuff. It's focused. My feelings get really hurt. I love to throw parties and I love to put events together. And if people don't show up or if people aren't bought in or if they're not having the time of their lives, then I turn into Scrooge really fast because it hurts my feelings. And I want to throw these parties for my friends and be generous. And when it doesn't land, I did that a couple of times. And then I just, with the team, really was like, hey, let's reset our expectations. Let's design something that works for everybody. And it's great. And Chill is different. I have a small team at Chill. So we're doing our, you know, Christmas party for 13 people and they're plus ones. And so that feels kind of like old Osco days a little bit. And we still get to do it, but it works out better because it's just easier on everyone.
Is everybody working or is it like
Yeah, it's so like it's just all day. It's regular work day, but we just have all these bonus things all day long during work. So it's your best, it's your funnest day of work. That's where this Mountain Dew came from. We stocked a whole fridge full of sodas. And
what do you think, Justin, you know, like you run different companies. What do you think your employees are really like grateful for or like the part that they like the most or you get the most best feedback year end?
Man, Christmas bonuses or like employee bonuses, once you do it, they become somewhat of an expectation because like it's just part of it. But those things go a long way to people. And I think sometimes big or small, no matter what it is, if you can find ways to be generous with your company towards your people, I think you should do that. Those things land really well. Food is sometimes missed. Like I get excited about like, let's make the team a run of t-shirts for everybody. And like, I think those things are received well and people enjoy that, but cash, there's nothing better than cash. And especially during the holiday season, when everyone wants to, you know, they got to spend a little bit more money than they were planning on and they want to show up for their spouses or kids or whatever. I think those generous cash expressions are seen.
That's a great question. What about you, Steven?
Yeah, like we do bonuses, and they're kind of an expectation now. And, you know, they didn't go up a ton from last year, just given like economic climate a little bit, as far as like what the business could afford to do, but everyone gets them. And it's really interesting, you know, after they get sent out, I'll get flooded with a handful of messages that are like, thank you so much. And then, you know, you don't hear from some people. And you're like, did they even know they got a bonus?
Right. And then you get your feelings hurt.
And then you get your feelings hurt. But what I do personally for like my leadership team is try to find thoughtful things to do for them that they might not do for themselves. So like our CFO, I was taking a meeting from his house and his desk was like just a crappy old desk. And I was like, he needs a new desk. So I'll just get him a desk or something like that. Like just random little things like, ooh, they wouldn't buy this for themselves. You know, I don't know. I just think like the more thoughtfulness you can put into it. Justin, you're very thoughtful. What are some thoughtful things that you do?
I have some special gifts that I'm going to give out to some people on my team in a few days that I don't know if I can't tell you right now. I don't know when this is going to come out. But I do thoughtful things. I think about my team. I mean, the bonuses, I will say, hey, here's one thing I learned that was really interesting this year. So things that go well. Right now we have 32 employees at Oklahoma Shirt Company. I hand wrote everybody a Christmas card, like a thank you card, put their bonus in. And what's interesting is in my staff, in my geography in Oklahoma, I saw an opportunity to be a little more intentional and I wrote 9 of my cards in Spanish. And it's a challenging exercise, but it's good. And I then realized like in that exercise, and I have it written on my card in my desk next to me that like 9 out of 32 employees at Oklahoma Shirt Company, English is their second language and is not what they primarily speak. And so that just kind of has been sitting with me heavily of like how we're presenting our analytics, how we're presenting company information, how we're rolling out communication to the teams. Like shame on me that my production manager isn't bilingual. And like, why are these like language, something I think that we take for granted and, you know, not super, like it's something that I need to be more intentional about, that it took an exercise of intentionality for me to even realize that like, damn, 1/3 of my staff might struggle to understand a lot of the things that we're trying to communicate. How can we be more intentional in, you know, meeting that this next year? Something I'm looking at.
That's pretty cool. The way you phrase that story, though, I was like, what? Like, is this a joke? I am learning Spanish, so I'm going to write all these cards in Spanish. But then the second part made a lot more sense.
Interesting. We kind of have the same thing, Justin. And when I take the time to try and speak Spanish to them, they are so appreciative of it. And I'm like, you know, and they're like, wait, you can speak some Spanish? I'm like, yeah. But then the other part about it, I told my team, I'm like, what if we did ESL classes here? You know, I was talking to my dad. My dad came from Egypt when he was like 25. And so he'll just like tell me stories. Like, I worked in a warehouse and a factory while I was going to school and doing all this. And the way I learned English was listening to WGN radio so that I didn't look like a fool. And I think about that and I'm like, man, some of these people, you know, like to truly make this their home and a place they love to come to work to, like, how can we meet them where, how can we prep them for life a little bit? That's something that me and my team have been talking about is how do we actually like help them? Because they would be super grateful for it too. Otherwise, they have to go pay for it on their own.
We used to do profit-based bonuses. And I think it worked well in the beginning, but it was difficult over time because there was definitely periods where I wanted to invest more and the profit got skinnier and there was more people. And then it just didn't, like the math doesn't work out as well because there's, you know, let's say it's 15% of the pie. It's like, with the pie smaller over more people, the math didn't math super well. And so we switched to more of a percentage based of their salary. And that way I could budget it over the year a lot easier and then can, you know, like, okay, you get 100% of that or you get 80% because of performance or whatever. Justin, how do you try to do the bonuses?
I took a, I've really struggled over the years implementing things like commission-based sales and percent-based things. The first year we did a Christmas bonus, we did a percentage of everyone's paycheck, but it was the same. Like I've kind of done, even like our production and performance bonuses, I really feel like the person at the end of the dryer is just as important as the operations manager and is just as important as the customer care team member and the graphic artist, independent of their salary and scale. Like we're all throwing energy and effort towards something to get it across the finish line. So like our Christmas bonuses are the same for everybody across the organization. Our performance bonuses are the same for across the organization because it's just one of those like, and I think as I continue to focus and drill down with EOS traction and like understand truly my metrics and KPIs and our profitability continues to do better, I think that I'll probably assign numbers to those things in the future and maybe scale some of those things out. But right now it's kind of more of this primitive kind of tribal, like we all killed this elephant. Let's all cut it up into 32 pieces and you get this, this is our cut. So again, I think that will change, but those, that kind of helps me with quick and dirty generosity is like equivalent across everybody. Does this feel, do we have this much money? Can we cut it up this much? Okay, do it, you know, and run with it.
You mentioned that EOS planning a couple times. Like, what does that look like? You said something about offsite and like who goes, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, for us, you know, what's cool about Traction, that should be everybody that's listening. If you're a small business owner, your New Year's resolution, at least listen to or expose yourself to Traction. Your business may not be ready for it at the time. And EOS is the really the name, but Traction is the book. Look up that, run that out.
Hey, email me, Bruce at Printavo. I will send you a free copy of the book.
There you go. Email Bruce. Oh, dang.
Because it's such
a free copy of the book.
It's, I mean, that is the best Christmas gift. Hard, well, maybe not hard. We'll compare the price.
Soft copy.
No, you said it, Bruce. Don't run it back now. What's it going to be, big dog?
No. I'll send you a hard copy of the book. Do they make hard copies? Yeah, they do.
Yes.
They do. All right, here we go. Bruce at Printavo, send it.
Email Bruce at Printavo.
That book is probably the most beneficial book of running a business, maybe ever.
Come on, preach. Amen. I could not, the most significant thing I ever did for Oklahoma Shirt Company, full stop, period, besides like,
was it a boat related thing or no? Oh.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah. Duh, you gotta do that. Okay, but the second most important thing.
So who else is going to, who, like what roles go to that meeting with you? Where do you do it at? And then like half day, what's a couple of the points that you go over?
For us, the full day planning is it's me and my, this time it's the leadership team. So it's like our art director, it's our operations manager, executive coordinator, customer care manager, and me. We get together all day and we plan for the year. We review our previous year and our plan and how it's gone. And we look at our vision and we look at like who we are as a company and make sure that all of those things are still the same. We set goals for ourselves. We set goals for the business. And then we give ourselves kind of expanded time to talk about what's working and what's not working. And then we process issues together. And it's hard to do. No one's ever got time for it. But it's the most important thing that you can do is you have to stop and look at your business and work on it with your team. Otherwise, like all day long, you're constantly working in the business and you're never working on it. And it's so important.
And Justin, you have someone else that is your integrator, meaning you don't champion it. Talk to us about that.
I have the privilege of in that model of identified a person on my team that is the team leader of that. And they get to focus on, you know, being the essentially kind of that center of gravity for the whole team. And they're responsible for holding everyone accountable to the rules that we set or the goals that we have. I get to have a role, which I have found, which is called a visionary. And my responsibility is to, you know, be here and to be an anchor to the business, but to come up with new ideas and to be the person that's looking for new opportunities and testing things. And that's a really sweet spot for me and how I'm wired and how my brain works.
And this is kind of silly, but like, where do you go for the day?
Well, for us, you're supposed to do it offsite. You know, anywhere. It could be a co-working space. It can be a restaurant that you could get a back room from, you know, anywhere where you can just, libraries are places that offer, you can often get a room at a library or a university. Above Chill, I have an apartment, like a really kind of this kind of like public meeting space. So I use that for Oklahoma Share Company.
What's a customer care metric that was set? Do you remember any for this year?
Yeah, we track things in customer care, like how many hours in like average response time to an email, how many calls per day, what is your sales this week, what is your touches on a customer. We're tracking now, like we look 10 months into the past and see what orders are coming up. And they, our customer care team members are contacting those people that have orders maybe 2 months in the future, you know, so they're pinging them now. So there's a number, they're tracking that number, like how many touches this week of, you know, advanced work that they're pinging people on.
That's in that Front app or like, how do you track all that?
Yeah, we get data from Front, some of it. And then we have our phones app, like where our phone, that's where we're getting our, like how many people are ringing in. And then people walking through the front door, we track that number, but that's a manual one.
No, I was going to say, Justin, what's a metric that you didn't track before Traction that you guys track now that you're obsessed with?
Accounts payable and accounts receivable. Like at the grand scale, like when everything's, you know, when it's like your checking and your savings account and you see it all at the same time and you have them lined up. Like I think that, also days to pay, you know, it's really shored up like our distributor payments, like how we pay for our blank goods and how often we pay them and me seeing that. Also, it's really good to know like weekly how many new quotes we're generating and how, and our quotes that are like have converted from like dead to like they're going live or they're going dead. We're tracking you know, our spoilage, we have it pretty dialed. We track all of that. One thing that's interesting to see is like, as we get busy in our warehouse, we track our check-in percentage rate, like how much they're supposed to check in for the jobs that are upcoming and the percentages of that. And so it's cool to see, that number improve over time, but I really like seeing the customer service pieces. You know, I've watched our response time tick down from like, we used to verbally say like, we want it to be 24 to 36 hours. We respond to every message and you hope that's happening, but it's really not unless you really, really track and obsess about it. And it's cool to watch it track down from 36 to 20s. And then we were in the 20s for a little bit and then we broke through the 20s and we were in the teens and we've never gotten less than 10, but like seeing it live in like the 10 to 13 hours and everyone kind of knows that's the new norm. It's just something that it really is true. Like what matters if you measure it and you hold it, like you really will continually improve that. And so that it really helps to look at those like really dialed numbers every week.
What is there a metric you're obsessed with, Stephen?
Yeah. So, you know, over time, your traction meeting will develop this scorecard, and the scorecard will have like different segments to it. And so we got really granular this year on our marketing. And so one thing that we track every week is how many followers we have on all of our social accounts. And so like at the beginning of the year, we had 123,000, we're up to 171,000. And then we look at email subscribers. I always beat Justin up over this, that he needs to send more emails. But we started tracking every week how much revenue comes from email and SMS in the month of November alone. Email and text message revenue. No, yeah. How many dollars converted from an email or a text message in D2C sales? We had a $2 million month.
Okay. So of $2 million, Jesus Christ, congratulations. That's a big month. Of $2 million, how much of that is directly responsible because of SMS and email? $1.3 million. What do you say, Bruce?
Oh, so you're going like 60%.
50%?
60%? Even 60%. Yeah.
I don't know.
I went, I'll take the low 20%. 40%. I'll go 40%.
So of the $2 million we did, $602,000 came from email and text message.
That's insane. And that means like someone, you sent the link and they clicked the link and they went through, and that's how you know, like,
they bought it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so like, it just showed us, holy shit, like this is such a 25% of our revenue is 30% of our revenue is coming from this. And this is something we need to obsess about. So we started then looking at like open rate. We started like a newsletter, and like the marketing team just obsessed over those like eight numbers, you know?
Do you know, was it pretty evenly split between text and email?
Well, we just started text this year. So in February, it was $500. In November, SMS did $70,000 of that.
So email still the leader, but text significant.
Yeah, of the numbers
we had.
Which
makes sense. Like, I guess every e-commerce website now you go to, it's like, you know, 20% off, give me your cell phone number and email.
But Justin, you were talking about like Fresh Prints. How many emails a week do you get from them?
Probably one.
Yeah.
I mean, really. They are good.
They are good on emails.
They are good. That's what I've really got to focus on in 2026 is like marketing. I'm evolving my small business brain from like what I've used to think was sales for the years was like, I've got to figure out sales and outside sales and a salesperson. And I called my customer care team a sales team. No, in promotional products and in apparel decoration, marketing. We're going to say marketing. We say marketing now instead of sales. And like it is, I think that is the full, because it's about education and it's about awareness. It's not about telling someone that I can do this and then closing a deal on the spot. That is sales. It is about awareness and education. And that is my 2026 like manifestation is marketing. We're evolving into a marketing. We got to figure out what that means. So I'm going to start. So point me towards your marketing language, your books, your podcasts, your people to be like, but that's what I'm going to figure out how to take over Oklahoma City.
What do you think that means for Osco? Like, is it?
Well, I think this is interesting, Justin, because you're rolling the dice here on some things big time in Oklahoma. Talk to us about this.
So for me, it's always been about awareness and education. I learned this from a church that I served in. The senior pastor told me like, hey, we're never going to be the number one church. Because the number one church in Oklahoma also happened to be like the largest church in North America. So he said, when people think about churches in Edmond, they need to think about this church, that church, and then our church, if we just want to be in the top three. So awareness. So that when people think about if they're going to go to church, they at least think about us. And so I carried that into like screen printing world. Maybe I'm not the largest screen printer in Oklahoma City, or maybe I'm not the most known, but whenever someone thinks about screen printing or embroidery or promo products or signs or banners or whatever, I need to always at least be in the top three. So if we're the market leader in screen printing, I hope we maintain number one. And how can we move embroidery from like three to two or one or wherever that is? So for me, it's about awareness. So I have, I'm leveraging my partnerships with OSU, with OU, and now the Thunder and our name. I'm trying to go all in on these big sports moments. Oklahoma is pretty proud of itself right now with our things that we're doing. I'm in sports ball world. And so I'm trying to get fandom, high energy, and arenas full of people. And sometimes they're all wearing the same t-shirt that we produce. And so I'm trying to tie ribbons around all that energy so that when people think about these really big fun moments, they kind of associate Oklahoma Shirt Company with it. Or when they see Oklahoma Shirt Company, they're reminded of those moments, or they associate us with large scale, big group fun. Our motto is building community through t-shirts. And so we're trying to really live into that vision of building community through t-shirts and these filling up a stadium or shirt of the month subscription or, philanthropic events where we're helping nonprofits or we're helping these people that are all doing the same thing, wear the same thing. So whatever we can do to build community through t-shirts is our kind of marketing.
I think it's interesting. You said we're going to call, it's not sales. We're calling this marketing. Someone, I think it was a month ago, was like, hey, are you talking about marketing? Or are you talking about advertising?
Okay.
And I was like,
what's the difference between those?
Yeah. Or is it public relations? Right. And so if we use Oklahoma as a case for a second, right, you can send out marketing emails, but it sounds like you're starting to do advertising, billboards, signage, and it's advertising is focused on drawing attention to the product through strategic placement and imagery.
And whereas marketing is what?
Would be systematic process of planning out a campaign for promotional efforts, actually trying to drive sales. So the best example I heard about this is think about Oklahoma Shirt Company is this house. There's people that don't even know where your house is. There's people that know about your house. There's people that are on your front door, and there's people that are eating inside your kitchen. And it's how do we get people to at least know about us, know where we live, know what we do, and then get closer and closer and closer until they're a customer. And then it's sales and customer service and all that. So it sounds like you guys are doing it all. Trying. But these are some big swings. How do you know the ROI on a billboard in a stadium? Because these are six-figure deals that you're doing now.
Yeah, I've said this on this podcast before. It's my favorite line to quote, and I'm going to butcher it. But someone from Nike said something about their marketing budget, and it was it's X amount of dollars. Let's call it $1 billion. Maybe it's definitely hundreds of millions when you think about how much money that they give to athletes and they're all in marketing and advertising efforts. They said, we spend X on it and only half of it works. The problem is we don't know which half works. So you still have to just do the same thing. You don't know what works or what, but clearly it's working. So we just have to kind of keep doing it. So I don't know how it works, but I know this, our business is very special in our market because we don't have very many natural competitors, and the population density in Oklahoma is a privilege for us in Oklahoma City. What I'm doing doesn't work in my buddies that are in bigger markets that have the exact same thing, that are doing some of the same things. I think it's just because we captivate the space that we do. And so that's where I want to just keep continuing trying to put pressure on that. I want to be involved in as many things as we can and as resourcefully as I can. So I'm leveraging my marketing dollars for in kind. I'm trying to get a 50% discount on our marketing efforts, the Thunder, yes, we're spending a six-figure money with them, but if I do it right, I should get a pretty good discount on that because that's goods and services. And so I'm getting to charge them retail price for something that's going to help us. And so that's always been my play, though. I just keep parlaying it into bigger ones. Instead of paying my air conditioner repairman guy cash, I lace him and his crew up in hoodies for the winter. And then it also works for schools, and it also works with nonprofits, and it also works with businesses and even big businesses. And so the deal that I have with the Thunder made me feel uncomfortable and uneasy. And that's how I knew it was probably the right kind of risk. If it felt comfortable, or if it felt like I wasn't oh, this is easy and easy. Yes. The fact that it felt like I was rolling the dice a little bit was okay, this is probably special. And we can think about all of the things that go into this that make it special. But man, what's more worthy for us than to roll the dice on this opportunity? And that's kind of what pushed me into that.
Do you guys, have you looked at billboards like in the highways nearby or street signage type stuff too?
Yeah, we did it. I did it during the pandemic. I put a picture of my face with a mask by the Capitol of Oklahoma City. And it was me on a billboard like this saying, we make masks too. And it was really a survival effort of like, I had a billboard already locked up. It was $2,500 a month. And I had it for 2 years and it was like $1,200 to have it rewrapped anytime we wanted to do it. And so if I did it again, that's really the move with billboards is, you know, refresh that medium a lot. I want to try to do it this year with the playoffs in Oklahoma City. With our partnership, we get a lot of eyes and attention when all the t-shirts go in the arena. So what I want to do is I want to take that idea outside of the arena. This is my secret idea I'm sleeping on. I want to like put billboards around Oklahoma City, two or three of them that say Oklahoma Shirt Company and proud partner and Oklahoma City Thunder. And it just says like playoffs baby, or it's something, or it shows a picture of the arena with the shirts on it, just so it just galvanizes that idea of us. And that if you're in the arena, you see it and you know it. If you're outside of the arena and you still know what's going on inside of the arena, you get to know it. And that's a marketing or probably a marketing play that I'm considering with billboards, but it's just pricey. And I don't know if it works. When my billboards went up, all of my friends told me all about it and people would text me all the time. I saw your billboard. It's super cool. But I don't know how it moved the needle.
There's a company in Chicago that's heavy on billboards. One RTs are everywhere up and down the highway and they've been there. They haven't changed the art or anything. They've been there for, I don't know, 10 years plus, maybe 15 years.
What about spending like way too much money on a trailer, wrapping it, putting a DTF machine in and taking it cross country?
For the Amish.
For the Amish.
Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.